will, city find a red book there somewhere close by. Everyone's standing, they will do so, we'll start out this morning, on page 233, saying, oh, we'll be glory behind by. It's 230, everyone's standing, they will do so. Everybody's wearing the same. They have the red book. It's 233, we'll be glory behind by. Our Redeemer has gone to prepare his blessed mansions of rest for his body. So he'll call me home to rest with the risen and the blessed. For it all will be glory by and by. Now I know it's written in the book of the blessed.
I live for my soul.
Thank you.
And if you will, be turning your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And the title of the message this morning is, it's actually a question. What good is prayer? What good is prayer? And just a quick reminder from last week, and I'd encourage you, I know we had tons of people were different places last week. We had our youth were on a retreat and a camping trip last week, and also many people are traveling, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to the message from last week entitled, Why Does the Church Fail? And we talked about this statement that was made, that Peter made to Jesus. He said, we have forsaken all to follow thee. We have forsaken all to follow. That's exactly what we've been singing about this morning. The last song the youth just sung is saying, we have forsaken all to follow thee. I want more of you, God. We're Christ-centered. You're the priority. We have forsaken all to follow thee. We talked about whether that statement was true or false. And I'll say this. Think about that statement again. We have forsaken all to follow thee. I'll say this. That is impossible to do while walking in the flesh. That is only possible if you're walking in the Spirit. And we've talked about that pretty extensively in the past, and we're going to talk more about it in the future. Walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit, you cannot forsake all and follow Jesus while walking in the flesh. That is only possible if you are walking in the Spirit. And that's part of the problem. If you think about what Jesus is saying, it's not as crazy as it sounds. But what, to say that we have forsaken all to follow Christ, that doesn't mean that there's no other priorities in your life. It's saying that Jesus is the priority. And your life will look a certain way if Jesus is the priority. But if you claim he's the priority and he's not, your life's going to look different. And that's what we were talking about. You can't be half in and half out. if you have forsaken all to follow Christ, if he is the priority, he can't just be one of the priorities. If he is the priority behind which everything else falls, all of the priorities fall behind him. If he is the priority, it's going to transform your life. And that's what we talked about a little bit last week. We talked about why does the church fail, asking that question. But this morning I want to ask the question, what good is prayer? What good is prayer? We're going to begin by looking in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. If you would, please stand in honor of God's words and read this together, beginning with just one verse here. Very familiar passage. You might have it memorized. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. If you go to the next slide, Macy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let's Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, for your revelation. God, we thank you, Lord, for, God, just how powerful and how true your word is. And God, I'm glad that we're able to read this together this morning and be able to focus our minds and our hearts upon it. That, God, we want to have a full certainty in our mind. God, doubts and unbelief, God, are so damaging. They're so limiting, God. As your word describes, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. His whole life is confusion. It's the life of a madman. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God, we don't want to be double-minded. We want to have certainty. We want to have assurance. We want to have confidence and boldness. God, to say that we can say truly we have forsaken all to follow Christ, that he is the number one priority, as he should be, as is in accordance with reality and with the truth. That God, I pray that we can say that and not with divided devotion, but with full devotion to Christ. And we know, God, that that's going to make all the difference. And without that, nothing else is going to work. Everything breaks down. God, if we are double-minded, if we're uncertain, if we're doubting, if we do not have faith, it all breaks down. As you tell us in your word, without faith, it is impossible to please you. That is a huge statement. Without faith, it is impossible to please you. So, God, I pray that we would see that this morning, God, that you would challenge us. You would challenge our faith. God, we say that we have faith, God. God, I pray that we would examine ourselves to see if we are found in the faith. That we do, if we're living a life of faithfulness, living a life of faith, believing what you've said, and making decisions based upon your promises. Or if we're questioning, or if we're doubting, or if we're living a double life. So God, I pray that you would make this so clear this morning, God, that you would challenge each one of us, myself included, that God, that we would be consistent in all that we do. So God, thank you, Lord, for this time together now. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Okay. What good does that do? What good does it do to cast your cares upon God? What good does casting your cares on God do? If someone were to run up to you and say, "Don't worry, everyone, I've cast my cares on God," would you feel relieved to say, "Okay, good. We've cast our cares on God. We've cast our cares upon the Lord." What good does this do? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What good does this do? Jana's grandmother, her other grandmother passed away yesterday. Be praying for Jana and for her family as well, our family. But her other grandmother, the mean one, the nice one died yesterday. The mean one died some years ago, her grandmother Salyer. And when I talked to Jana, I called Jana whenever she was with her grandmother, and her grandmother, she didn't really care for me much. So as I was talking to Jana, I would say, give your grandmother my regards. And so Jana would say, Jordan sends his regards. And her reply was, what am I supposed to do with that? Or what am I supposed to do with his regards? Like, and so, you know, as we're reading this passage of Scripture, okay, cast your cares upon him. Okay, what am I supposed to do with that? Okay, I've cast my cares on him. What did that do? What does it do when we cast our cares upon God? And kind of to drive this point home, and I'm going to have to reach back a little bit in time, almost 10 years ago. I didn't think it's been that long. But back on May 20th, 2013, you'll probably remember as I recount this, there was an EF5 tornado that hit Moore, Oklahoma. Do you remember this? About 9 years ago. hit more Oklahoma. It was an EF5. That means the wind speeds were higher than 200 miles per hour. It killed 24 people. The whole town was just obliterated. If you remember, more Oklahoma just disappeared because of this tornado. 24 people were killed, over 200 injured. And I remember this quote by a comedian named Ricky Gervais. It's really stuck with me. And this was his quote. I think this is illustrating the point I'm making this morning about, so what? What good does it do to cast your cares upon the Lord? He sent out this tweet following that event, and it was in response to another tweet. And so at MTV News, they announced that Beyonce, Rihanna, and Katy Perry send prayers to hashtag Oklahoma, hashtag pray for Oklahoma. So that was the tweet, is MTV News was announcing that Beyonce, Rihanna, Katy Perry were sending their prayers, and then hashtag Oklahoma, hashtag pray for Oklahoma. Comedian Ricky Gervais, if you don't know who that is, have you ever heard The Office before, the show The Office? Well, he's the one who created The Office over in the UK, which was then picked up here in the United States with Steve Carell, another comedian, and had ran for years. But so Ricky Gervais was the inventor of The Office, the writer for that, and he's a comedian, and he's also an atheist. And so after, in reply to this MTV News tweet, he replied and said, I feel like an idiot now. I only sent money. So at the announcement that Beyonce, Rihanna, and Katy Perry had sent their prayers, he said, well, now I feel foolish. All I sent was money. And so I think that illustrates the point of the question I'm asking this morning. Now, I have a lot of questions about this tweet. I have so many questions. And it doesn't start with Ricky Gervais. The question I just want to scream as I hear this is, to whom is Beyonce, Rihanna, and Katy, who is Beyonce praying to? Who is Rihanna praying to? She is offering prayers on behalf of those in Oklahoma, those in Moore, Oklahoma. Who is she praying to? Who is Katy Perry praying to? Now you say, well, of course, do you not know what a prayer is? They're praying to God. But who is that to Beyonce? Who does Rihanna think God is? Who does Katy Perry think that God is? That's the first question that comes to my mind as I read this. Is this the God of the Bible? Is this the God who actually exists? Or is this a God of their own making? Is this an idol? Is this the God of the coexist bumper sticker? Because that God doesn't exist. And as I'm thinking about what's being said here, actually, Ricky Gervais, he wins. Because if they're offering a prayer to the God of the coexist bumper sticker, they've not done anything for Oklahoma. They've done flat nothing. At least he did send some money. He beat them. He beat them, hands down. If they're praying to their own God, a God of their own making, and understand, it's black and white. It is black and white. Were they praying to Allah? Who are they praying to? That makes all the difference in the world. Now, I know what's going on here. What's going on is it's just a nice thing to say. You know, we're sending vibes your way. We're sending our thoughts are with you. It's just a cliche thing that people say. But it does beg a question because that's a huge statement to say. Beyonce, Rihanna, Katy Perry send prayers. So they're sending prayers to God. That's what a prayer is. They're sending prayers to God on behalf of people of Oklahoma. And I'm fascinated, and I would love to know, to whom are they praying? And what do they expect to happen based upon those prayers? I'm not the one who, you say, well, Jordan, you're being awful, you know, critical. I'm not the one who sent the tweet. I'm just asking what does this mean? And the fact is, I know what it means. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. But it means something to me. I hope it means something to you. It is a deeply meaningful statement that's treated as if it's meaningless. But that is a huge statement. That's the first question that I would ask. But then to Mr. Gervais' quote, I feel like an idiot now. I only sent money. You know what he's saying there is he's saying prayer doesn't do anything. I did something tangible. I sent some money to actually help with problems. I'm not just, and you know what, it's so, there's some good that comes out of this because I wanted to expose empty words about God and empty words about prayer. I'm glad that gets exposed. But the statement he's making is he's saying, I did something tangible. Money will actually help. Now, I do have a question, though. I wonder how much he sent. I would hope he has enough integrity that he actually did send some money. He may not have, but I would hope he sent. I wonder how much he sent. He's a rich man. He's a multimillionaire. How much do you think he sent? What would you guess? Anybody got a guess? 10,000? 100,000. Let's say $100,000. I can't send $100,000. I guess I will. I mean, I could send $100, $1,000. I can't send $100,000. Let's say he's really generous. Let's say he sent $1 million. Now that does something, right? I have a question. I mean, let's get down to the nitty gritty. When I see something like this, I mean, I really care about what these people are saying. Now, they may just make this statement in passing to try to get some, you know, some notoriety or something like that. But I think a lot about what they're saying. And I think a lot about what I'm saying, first of all, but I also think a lot about what other people say. If you choose to share this with the world, I'm curious about what you're saying. So let's say that he sent $1 million. What was the financial cost of the tornadoes in Moore, Oklahoma? What was the total? Any idea? $2 billion. $2,000 million. Thanks for the million. What is that $1 million? What if you gave that to a family who lost a loved one? Did it fix it? Did it bring them back? You see, money does help. We get money all the time. We're going to continue to do so. Money does help. Christ said, where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Money, it does matter. If he thinks he's really done something, he's not done anything. He's not touched it. If he sent $1 million, and he didn't send $1 million. But here he's saying, look how righteous I am. I sent money. I did something. Unlike these fakes and phonies, I did something. But you see, this sentiment, prayer is nothing. What does prayer do? Nothing. What does casting your cares upon God do? Nothing. Now, a lot of people share this sentiment. This isn't just Ricky Gervais. Now, he's provocative. Now, maybe he has the boldness to say it. There's a lot of people who basically are too cowardly to say prayer does nothing. In fact, there are people sitting in the pews this morning. There are people attending church this morning who in the back of their mind say prayer doesn't do anything. You know, I know that because they never pray. I know atheists who attend church. I work with men who are atheists who take their families to church every Sunday, and they don't believe a word of it. We've had atheists attend this church. They bring their kids. They'll come here. They don't believe a word of what's being said. And so that's what I want to get down to this morning, get down to the nitty-gritty of this. I want to deal with this claim of prayer doesn't accomplish anything. Casting your cares upon God doesn't do anything. Is that right? Then show me what it does. Well, so what good is prayer? What does casting your cares upon God do? How would you answer this question if someone hit you with this at work or at school or on the street and said, your prayers and you're casting your cares upon God, what does that accomplish? What does that do? How would you answer that question? Well, are you ready for God's answer? Now, we think we've really got God in a corner here. I mean, where was God when this tornado hit? Where was God when this happened? We think we've really got God in a corner here. Are you ready for God's answer to our profound question, our provocative question, our challenge to Him? Are you ready for God's answer? The answer may surprise you. What good is prayer? What does casting your care upon God do? What's God's answer to that? It fixes everything. Ricky, it fixes everything. It doesn't just make you feel better. It fixes everything. What do you mean it fixes everything? Prayer to the infinite triune God, as he has revealed himself divinely through the scriptures, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one infinite being existing in three persons, the infinite triune God, prayer to him, prayer to Yahweh, prayer to the infinite triune God fixes everything. Prayer to the coexist bumper sticker God doesn't do anything. You're wasting your breath. You're delusional. Give me the evidence that God, that the God of pluralism exists. Give me the evidence for that. It's non-existent. But I'm all ears if you think you have some. But prayer to the infinite triune God fixes everything without exception. If you cast your cares upon God, he will take care of it. If you cast your cares upon God, he will take care of every single one of them. He will not miss one. Every care you cast upon God, I promise you, he will take care of it without exception. He will solve every problem you have if and only if you bring all your problems to him. He makes us that promise. But I want you to hear the condition in there. He will solve every problem you have if and only if you bring all your problems to him. He makes us that promise, and he tells us that over and over again, including in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Let's read it in context and look at verses 6 through 11. What does this say? This is what God instructs us to do. If we do what he says, he'll take care of every problem we have, every care. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You notice it says in due time. There is a time element there. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That means that your exaltation may not be immediate. In fact, it's actually saying your exaltation will not be immediate. But you humble yourself under his mighty hand, and that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you will humble yourself to him, he will lift you up in due time. If you cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. Verse 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so there's a struggle here, there's a battle here. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen to what it says next. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, again, you see a time element there, will make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What he's saying there in verse 10 is, I will take care of everything if you trust me. The God of all grace, who's called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, there's a period of time here, but he will make you perfect, he will establish you, he will strengthen and settle you, he will take care of everything. All those cares that you cast upon him back in verse 7, he's going to take care of everything. That's his promise. And so let me phrase it this way. Again, when people make these statements, I want to look at the big picture. And people are looking, they think they're, oh, I'm stepping back looking at the big picture of these little cliche throwaway statements about God and about prayer. I'm backing up even further and saying, no, you don't have the full picture. I want to look at the full picture. The full picture is this. Who wrote these words? Who penned these words that we're reading 2,000 years later? Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter, so this is the Word of God, this is the promise of God delivered to us through the pen of the Apostle Peter, the one who preached on the day of Pentecost. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter wrote these words of God, the promise of God. And I ask this question, how many problems and cares does Peter have today? The man who wrote, I mean, he lived just like you and I are living today. He lived in his day. How many problems does this man, the one who wrote these words, as of today, September 11, 2022, how many problems and how many cares? Let's create two different categories. How many problems, how many cares does Peter have? By my calculation, if you carry the one, zero. What's his problem today? Name a problem that he has. The man who wrote this, who wrote these words, who was under extreme persecution as he wrote them, writing to Christians in extreme persecution as he wrote this, who is ultimately going to be crucified for the cause of Christ, not maybe within a year or two after having written this. What problem does he have today? What care does he have? You think he did what he told others to do? I think he cast his cares upon the Lord. You know what? He didn't have cares anymore. He does not have one problem. I got tons of problems. You got tons of problems. He does not have one problem. He does not have one care. Exactly as God promised. Let's go a step further. In relation to this tweet that I read a minute ago, those 24 people that were killed in the tornadoes in Moore, Oklahoma in 2013, let me say this. If those 24 people killed in that tornado, if they cast their cares upon God, if they just did exactly what he said to do, and by the way, if you cast your cares upon God, you're going to be born again. Because my biggest care is this, is I'm a sinner separated from God. That's a deep care. I'm under the wrath of God as a sinner. I'm a rebel against God. That's a big, enormous care. That's basically my number one care when you fully understand this thing and you cast that upon God and say, God, save me a sinner. If those who were killed in that tornado in 2013, those 24 people, if every single one of them cast their cares upon God, if they did what he said, then May 20th, 2013 was the greatest day of their life. It is the day every problem was solved. Like that. They took their last breath and the problems were over. The cares were over. Yeah, it was rough there at the end. And sometimes in this life for other people, it's going to be rough right there at the end. Every problem solved. Every care taken care of. Just like that. If the surviving families in Moore, Oklahoma, if they just do exactly what God said to do, if their loved ones who were killed in the tornado, if they did what God said to do, and the survivors who were left behind, if the spouses, the kids, the parents, whoever it was, if they do what God said to do, they cast all their cares upon God, for he cares for them, if they cast all their cares upon God, they will be reunited with their loved ones and their family very soon. And that reunification will last literally forever. The final state of that for these tornado victims, the final state of that for these tornado victims will be that they will be eternally together and carefree. And I mean that, carefree. And you know what? It's really that simple. You say, well, Jordan, you know, life's a lot more complicated than that. No, it's not. It's really that simple. If they do exactly what God said to do, if they believe what he says, they're going to be just fine. Every care taken care of, every problem. But that's the problem. To steal a term from Mr. Gervais, it really is that simple. And to steal a term from Mr. Gervais, we really are idiots for not believing what God has said and doing what God said to do. All you had to do was cast your cares on him. Anybody can do that, but very few choose to do so because they're smarter than it. They're smarter than what God, and God made it so simple to where anybody can do this, but we're too good for it, we're too sophisticated for it, I refuse to do it. It can't be that simple. We are idiots for not believing what God has said and doing exactly what he said to do. And I want you to understand something today. God will have the last laugh. God will have the last laugh. And it will be as ironic as it is tragic. All you had to do was believe him. All you had to do was believe what he said. All you had to do was believe him. And you laughed in his face. Do you see what's coming in the future? Ricky Gervais is going to stand in the judgment. What's he going to say? All you had to do was believe. All your cares, all your problems, you got cares, you got problems. Even if you're wealthy, you got cares, you got problems. All you had to do is just cast it upon the Lord. Just cast it upon him. But you refused. At that instruction, at that command by God, you laughed in his face. And he's not the only one. All you had to do was believe him. And you laughed in his face. So now, take care of your own problems. Take care, your cares are yours. Take care of them yourself. Take care of your own problems and cares without him. In godless existence, separated from God. That's what you wanted. Do you understand that's what people get in the end? They get what they want. Ricky Gervais wants no God. What will Ricky Gervais get in the end? No God. But it will not be what he thinks it is. There are, I say, trillions of things that he takes for granted. It's beyond that. That he thinks he'll have without God, that he will not have. God says, I will withdraw myself completely from you. Welcome to a godless existence. It's not going to be what you think it is. But remember this, you chose it, you requested it. In fact, you demanded it, and I gave you what you wanted. All you had to do was believe. Buy your way out. Buy your way out of hell. Write a check. Send some money. Buy God off. Buy his favor. Buy his presence. Purchase it with your money that you made as a comedian. Buy your way out of hell and being separated from God as you requested and as you demanded. As I think about this morning, I love Ricky Gervais. I hope he gets saved. I had the same kind of mentality, same kind of heart. I still find that unbelief in myself that I have to repent of and say, God, forgive me. I pray that he gets saved. You know, in this tweet, he's mocking prayer. My prayer is I pray that he begins to pray. And that can happen. And I hope it does. I pray that this man who sent out this tweet mocking prayer, that he humbles his heart under the mighty hand of God, he begins to pray that God may exalt him in due time. That's the best case scenario. But I'm saying all this morning, it's not about one British comedian. I'm saying this morning because a lot of people share Mr. Gervais' pessimism, cynicism, and unbelief. And as I said earlier, a lot of people sitting in pews and attending church this morning share this pessimism, cynicism, and unbelief. What good is prayer? What good does it do to cast your cares upon him, the one who cares for you? That's everywhere today. As we close this morning, ask Bill if you want to come get a song. I'll ask everybody to go ahead and stand if you would. I raised the question this morning, what good is prayer? What good is prayer? I'm going to give you a very straight answer. It fixes everything. What good is prayer? It fixes everything. Come tell me it doesn't. Come tell me that it's not true. Oh, maybe I'm just too simplistic. Maybe I'm not sophisticated as you are. Come and tell me the truth and come and show me how you came to that conclusion. I think what you're going to find is, pretty quickly, it is that simple. What good is prayer? It fixes everything. Prayer to the infinite God, the infinite triune God. Prayer to Yahweh, interceded by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. What good is prayer? It fixes everything. I want to read a passage of Scripture as we close this morning. This is the future and fate of those who cast their cares upon God. What will it look like in the end? After they have suffered a while, in due time, what will it look like? Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. You know who's going to be present at this vision that John saw? Do you know who's going to be present there? All of those who cast their cares upon God. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, all cares, all problems. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow. I'm telling you, no problems, no cares. All tears wiped away. Death is gone. No more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Why? Because the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus told you the truth. He gave this to John and said, write this down. For who? For the whole world. It's true. It's faithful. It's going to happen. Carefree. Every care taken care of. Again, I didn't say this. Christ said this. John saw this future state to come. God revealed it to him so that we may know that casting your cares upon God does everything. That prayer does everything. There's not a question in my mind of the reality of this. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? As I read this account, you're faced with a decision. There is no third option. Either you have to say what I just read, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You have to say, it will never happen. You must say that. It's fictional. It will never happen. John was delusional. This is false. This is fake. It will never happen. Or that's true and it will happen, just as God promised. Option A. Option B. There is no option C. Do you accept it or reject it? Do you believe this? Do you believe that this state is coming? I know that this is true. I hope you know that this is true. And I say all that to say we have to be eternally minded. We have to be. Prayer, what good is prayer? You have to be eternally minded to understand how powerful prayer is, to understand how powerful it is to cast your cares upon God. I'll put it this way, and that's what gets us, that's what gets me, that's what gets you, that's what gets our church, is we get temporally minded. Temporally minded. We can't think, we can't see ahead. We can't think in due time. We can't think after a while. We get temporally minded. I want you to think about this. Think about how absurd and what a failure the life of Jesus of Nazareth was temporally. You talk about a failure. You talk about a flop. You talk about something that accomplished nothing. All this buildup, all this messianic buildup, nailed to a cross, dead, thrown into a tomb. Temporally speaking, a colossal failure. If you look at it temporally, if the temporal is all there is, if you look at it temporally, but when you back out and look at it eternally, and you see that resurrection, and he's still resurrected to this day, and he promises us a resurrection, as sure as he resurrected, we shall resurrect. He now has risen with eternal life, and as the first fruit of the eternal resurrection, suddenly his life makes perfect sense, looking at it eternally, but not looking at it temporally. Hope you believe this morning that prayer changes everything. Prayer fixes everything because God fixes everything. God will fix everything. That's the confidence we can have. I hope you believe that. I hope you're not sitting here this morning as a closet, cynic, agnostic, atheist, unbeliever. You know, maybe that good litmus test for you this morning is this. You say, well, Jordan, I'm not a cynic. I'm not an atheist. I believe all this is true. How much do you pray? That's really the test. It's not what you say. It's what you do. How much do you pray? How much do I pray? If we really believe that this is true, if we really believe that prayer changes everything, prayer fixes everything, and that we can cast our cares upon Him and God will take care of every care we have, how much are we doing that? As we sing this morning,